Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you give people the opportunity to say yes, then you can get somewhere and move on with your journey.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum, and in this episode, we continue our conversation with property developer Leslie Smith. We hear how she made a profit of $60,000 on a property in the middle of the pandemic. She enlightens us with a fluid mindset, which can help any investor say yes to every opportunity. All that and more to come. Although Smith is very successful, she's no stranger to adversity. She shares some of her worst investment decisions.
We purchased a townhouse which was off the plan, at an estate that was starting to be developed, I guess. So we thought, oh, that's a nice idea. Get a townhouse there, add to our portfolio. This was around about the same time that we were buying the property in town. We were told at the time that the value was expected to increase by $40,000 before it was even finally built for us. So we thought, well, that's a good proposition to put a contract in off the plan. And then by the time the property's built, sort of 6 months, 12 months later, we've already made $40,000 without any money down. Sounded good. Unfortunately, because of the way that property prices went in the area and there were lots of new builds going on at the time, more land was opened up, that increase didn't happen and it just really plateaued and was only worth what we'd paid for it by the time we settled on it. And it took quite a few years before it did increase by the $40,000. So we sort of took that as our sign to sell it on at that point and make the $40,000 that we were happy with. But that was a little bit disappointing and I guess sort of lesson learned to not really listen to sort of predictions at the time, to look at what's around and not expect things to increase by that much. The second worst investment we made was that we bought some managed funds just a few weeks before the GFC hit. And we actually took on a second mortgage to do that. We decided we had spare cash. It's like, yeah, let's take on a mortgage, put it in shares, and we don't have to do anything with them. You know, it's not like a property where you have to do stuff. We thought we'll have a little go at the dip our toes in the water with shares. And unfortunately, few weeks later, GFC came along and they plunged to 50% of what we'd bought them for. So that was quite a lot of $1,000 wiped off in one go. And obviously, we were still paying the mortgage for the full amount. And it took those good 8 years before they were even anywhere close to what we'd originally paid for them. So the lesson we learned from that was that even safe investments aren't always safe. So it's all a bit of a gamble, whatever you do.
However, out of hard times come wise words. Here's advice that she'd give to anyone currently in a bad investment.
Expect the unexpected and I guess to always make sure that you can cope if things don't work out so well. So we were lucky with the shares. We were able to still pay the mortgage that we had on them. if we'd sort of taken more than we could afford, then we could have been stuck. But, you know, we were able to cope with it. And with the townhouse, it was covering its costs while we owned it. So it wasn't really costing us money. Yeah, so you just have to always be mindful of what the worst outcome could be.
While she's experienced the downside of investing, she's also had some eye-opening moments.
Well, the aha moment, I think, was when we realised what our mentors were saying to us. So we joined another mentoring group, Young Nguyen's one in Brisbane, a couple of years ago. And one thing he always says to us is to give people the opportunity to say yes. And I think with the project that we did at Wimbai, that we sort of learned that that is the case. If you give people the opportunity to say yes, then you can get somewhere and move on with your journey.
Smith explains how she came across the subdivision property that doubled her income.
We actually found off market. So we went to see a different property with the agent, but that one wasn't suitable for what we wanted to do. So we were talking to him and explaining what we wanted to do with subdivisions, and he said, I might have another property that might be of interest to you. So I've been talking to the owners, they don't want to put it on the market yet, but if somebody comes along, they're happy to talk. So we went along to see that one, and that one was the one that we ended up doing at Wimbai. So he negotiated with the owners for us, and we put the contract in on it. And we could see that it could be subdivided. It had its challenges, but it was a really good one for learning from, because it did give us lots of challenges. We put in an offer for it, and they accepted the offer after a little bit of negotiating backwards and forwards. And then we had the building and pest report done. And that came up with a few things that needed to be sorted out there that we hadn't realised, on the maintenance side and stuff. So we ended up asking for a $16,000 drop in the price.
Smith knew it was a bold ask, but she was still hopeful.
I knew that we were being very cheeky asking for that, but I had it in the back of my mind what Young says about giving the opportunity to say yes. If you don't ask, they can't say yes. So I was sort of like cringing when we were giving the agent the news that we wanted to drop $16,000. He went and spoke to them. Obviously, they weren't very impressed with that. They would have liked to have kept the offer with what it was, but they did end up agreeing to an $8,000 drop. So we were very happy with that, because I thought they would come back sort of saying, no, it's an old property, you know, go away. You can pay what you want to pay for it, and that's it. So yeah, if we hadn't have asked for that discount, then we wouldn't have got anything. So.
Here's how they secure the bold offer and how you can too.
We showed them the building and pest report, and we pointed out the things that needed doing in it. The biggest one, I guess, was the retaining wall. There was already a retaining wall there. And we knew that we'd have to re-engineer it as part of the development approval. But the existing retaining wall was in a very bad state of repair. And in the end, they agreed that if somebody else had bought the property that were looking to live there, they would still have to do some work on the retaining wall, and it would still cost them a lot of money to do that. So we were prepared to take an $8,000 discount, because we knew we had to do something with it, and we'd already sort of allowed for that in our figures. Whereas if they'd sold it to somebody who wanted to own it and live there, they might have asked for a lot more discount, because it was going to cost a lot more than $8,000 to fix it, even just for somebody living there. And there were some other maintenance issues as well. So we just pointed them all out to them, even some of the more minor ones, to back up the reason why we were asking for $16,000.
So just how well did the property do?
We purchased it for $550,000. It ended up costing us about $860,000 in total, so just over $300,000 in development costs. That's including everything, the civils, the engineers' fees, town planners' fees, absolutely everything. And then we sold the land for $320,000 and the house for $537,000. So we ended up making, not sure if I got those figures right actually, but we ended up making about $60,000 profit out of it. So we were happy with that.
And how long did the process take?
We actually signed the contract in January last year, so 2020, and we settled on the 10th of March 2020, just before everything went belly up with COVID. So I think you can imagine, you mentioned about having problems with the development in COVID era. You can imagine how we felt just going in for our first subdivision, knowing all the costs ahead, just before COVID. So we really didn't know what we were letting ourselves in for. But we were quite philosophical about it. We knew it was a good property and could be rented out. So we thought, well, we'll just see how it goes, go with the flow again. And if we have to keep renting it out for a while before we do the project, we'll do that. We'll just see, you know, what happens. It did take us quite a few weeks to get tenants in there because everybody just was staying at home. No tenants were wanting to move anywhere. And yeah, we did struggle to get a tenant, which was probably the worst part of it. It took us a couple of months to get tenants in there. So we were starting to get a little bit nervous at that point for what was going to happen. But once the tenants were in, we started cracking on with all the, we'd already put in the application, everything. We got everything sorted during the contract time so that as soon as we settled, we were ready to put the application into the council. So we kept everything moving along as quickly as we could, with our fingers paused on the pause button, ready to sort of stop if we needed to, if COVID, you know, put a stop to things. So then we were able to get all the civils done. Again, we had a great team around us, the engineers, town planners, the civil contractors, just all worked together very well. And we just really left them to it a lot of the time and they got stuff sorted. And then we finished all the civils around September time. We started to pull it out for sale at the end of October. And we got a contract on both the house and the land the middle of December.
Despite the COVID-19 setbacks, it was still a great outcome.
And they both settled in February. So if you want to take it from the point of the when we signed the contract, that was just over 12 months or about 13 months for the project from start to finish. So that was really good. I think we were lucky that we were doing the council part in the early part of COVID. I think if it had been 2 or 3 months down the line, I think people were starting to struggle with getting the answers back and the final approvals back from council. So I think we were very lucky with our timing.
Smith and her husband have hopes of developing more properties in the future.
We'd like to do another project if we can. We have taken a little bit of a back seat at the moment. We're helping other people with their projects, investing some money to keep the money moving and to help them. But we are just waiting to see at the moment what good projects come along. Where we are on the Sunshine Coast, the property market has been absolutely on fire the last few months, and it seems to be ramping up with no signs of stopping. When you're driving around, you see a for sale sign up. Within a few days, that changes to a sold sign. So you have to be very quick with what you're getting, and it's quite difficult at the moment to get things off market and to get them at a good price because everybody's just trying to get the best price that they can. So we're just waiting our time at the moment. We've got quite a few things going on personally with renovations around the house and stuff. So we're just concentrating on that at the moment, and then we'll come back into the property projects when we feel ready for it.
When we come back after the break, we discuss the surprising outcome of Smith's property ventures.
She was only 9, but she came up with a fantastic list and lots of things that were out of the box that you wouldn't really expect a child to sort of think of.
We learn about the mindset that led her to build a property empire.
The way that I've always looked at things in my life is for it to be a fluid pathway.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Sharm and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey property investor, is your cash or equity currently earning you 1 to 2% per annum sitting in the bank? What if I said to you that you can do better? To find out more, simply register your interest to become a money partner at propertyinvestory.com. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest to get a high return with low risk on their money for 6 months. Register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Motivation is a key element to Smith's success.
Our main motivation is to create a secure life for ourselves and our daughter. She's learning a lot from it. Like being a child, she doesn't always understand why we've got to go to open houses or why we've got to go to that Wimbuy property again on a Saturday morning when she just wants to stay at home and do her thing. But she is learning a lot from it as well. She's learning the work ethic and that you have to work for your money. And it's dependent on what you put in, what you get out. The harder you work, the more you're going to get out of something, whether that is money or enjoyment or whatever. She actually, it was quite funny because when we joined Young's program, he used to give us homework at the start to do. And one of the things you had to do was list 10 ways that you could make money other than your normal job. And my daughter was like, what are you doing, Mummy? What are you doing? And I sort of explained to her what I was doing. Oh, I'm going to do that as well, she said. And she got a piece of paper out and she started thinking and writing. And at that time, she was only 9. But she came up with a fantastic list and lots of things that were out of the box that you wouldn't really expect a child to sort of think of. And I thought that was like a really good thing for her to be starting to think out of the box and think about other ways of doing things. And you don't just have to go to your 9-to-5 job. You can do other things as well.
Smith and her husband learnt a lot from books and their mentor.
My husband tends to read the books more than I do. I just got my head buried in spreadsheets all the time, so we tend to split the roles that way. There was one very good book that he felt very inspired by. It was called Start Now, Get Perfect Later by Rob Moore. And after he'd read that book, he was like, we've got to get a property, we've got to get this, we've got to do this, we've got to get into it. This was after we'd been on Young's program for a little while and we had been looking and couldn't find the right thing. But I think you can spend a lot of time looking for the perfect project and then you pass by other ones that potentially could give you lots of learnings and some money as well. And it is a very difficult balance to make sure that the one you're getting isn't going to be an absolute flop and that you're just going to get learnings out of it and no money. But it was really after reading that book that we put the impetus on really trying to find a property. And then when the Wimbuy one came up, we could see that there were options there. So you talked about the exit strategies earlier. We could see that there were quite a few exit strategies for it. And although the money that we were going to make from doing the subdivision, we knew by the time we did the due diligence period, it wasn't going to be fantastic money. Young always likes you to look at doing around 20% return to be safe in the project. And we knew when we first started looking at it, it looked like it was going to return 20%. By the end of the due diligence, it looked like it was going to return about 12%. But for our situation, we were prepared to take the plunge and give it a go and use Rob's philosophy from his book of Start Now, Get Perfect Later. We're glad that we did the project. Obviously, we don't know what other opportunities we missed out on by doing this one. While it was quite a challenging one, being a sloping block and the retaining wall and a few other sort of features of the engineering on it. So it was very challenging, but it did offer lots of learning for us. And now having come out of this one, so we came out with 60,000. I think I got my figures wrong earlier, which isn't very good being a numbers person, but I think the costs were actually around 250. So we made 60,000, which to us, that worked out about 8% in the end. So it wasn't a huge profit compared to what a lot of people make out of projects. But we think coming through the COVID year, we were very happy to make that amount of money, because at the start of last year, so by March time, nobody really knew how the future was going to look, did they? So we were happy to come out of it, and the learnings that we've learned from it we'll take into the next project, and we know that our next project is going to be so much better and smoother because of what we've learned from this one. So that was absolute gold.
In hindsight, Smith wishes she had been braver early on in her journey.
I think I would have said to myself to not be afraid to give it a go, and to give people the opportunity to say yes. I think 10 years ago, we weren't so confident at putting ourselves out there and asking for things, and asking people to give us a go and to, you know, get properties cheaper, all that type of stuff. And I think also to try not to let opportunities pass by. There have been some opportunities, particularly in property, that we were too scared, I guess, to go into. And I think, you know, looking back, and again, hindsight's good. We know now that they might have been a good investment. So hindsight's always good. But I guess not to beat yourself up about the things that haven't gone so well.
Smith shares what she's looking forward to in a property development journey.
I think the endless opportunities that there are in property, and as I mentioned earlier, the way that I've always looked at things in my life is for it to be a fluid pathway and not to become fixed on, we must do things this way, this is what's going to happen, this is where I'm going to be in 5 years. So again, with the property, we sort of take opportunities as they come. Not to become fixated on, I'm only going to do subdivisions or I'm only going to do renovations. Again, it's a fine balance, because you can then end up being jack of all trades and just jumping around from here to there and not learning just the skill sets that you need properly. So you have to be careful of that. But to also take opportunities as they come along and not let them pass us by.
Leslie, you've shared a great story. You've been along this property journey and also the developments that you've done as well. How much of it do you think is because due to your intelligence, hard work and skill? And how much of it do you think is because of luck?
I think there is an element of luck involved. Sometimes timing goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. A lot of it's probably about being in the right place at the right time. So with our Wimbuy project, we would never have known about it unless we went to the other property inspection with that agent. A lot of it, I'm not sure necessarily about skill, but I think a lot of it is listening to the advice of other people that know better than you. So we've had some great mentors along the way, and in Young's group, there's a lot of other experienced people doing properties, so we've been learning off of them as well. And if you take their advice, then they've done it all before, they've made the mistakes, so you're less likely to make those mistakes. You can still make mistakes, and you do still have to make your own mistakes to a certain extent to be able to learn from them. But I think it's just all about surrounding yourself with the right team as well. So we were very lucky. Maybe it was luck, but the town planners that we used all those years ago doing the strata title property in town, we've stuck with them all the way through. So we've got a good relationship with them now. And they put us in touch with the engineer. She's been very good as well. And then she put us in touch with the civil contractor. So everything just fell into place. So you could say there was an element of luck involved in that, element of choosing the right people and really listening to them and taking their skills and expertise on board and letting them do what they're skilled at. And then we just sort of made it all happen, I guess. You know, we were just there putting the money in and helping sort of coordinate it all.
Thank you to our guest, Leslie Smith, for sharing her amazing story on Property Investory. And if you love the show and are ready to get serious about investing your money to get a low risk, high return, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499881040 to become a money partner. Right now, there are great opportunities in the property market, and I'm looking for money partners who want to invest their money for a short 6 months. To register interest, text me your name and email address on 0499881040.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.